It's been quite a week, hasn't it, in America. A lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, a lot of challenges, and a lot of people probably brokenhearted. Today we're going to talk about that little phrase in the Bible that calls falling away, departing from the faith. And I want to challenge you before we go any further. Do not let these kind of circumstances or the difficulties that you're going through right now drive a wedge between you and the Lord. Because the enemy will use these kind of things to drive a wedge between you and your walk with Jesus, to the point, even if possible, that the very elect, the Bible says, would fall away. Do not let these circumstances drive that wedge between you and Jesus. Life can get hard sometimes. The future can look very uncertain. But I told somebody this past week online, my hope is not in people, but in Jesus. Our hope needs to be in Jesus. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our nation. I'm going to spell out to you a little bit and show you a little bit about this phenomenon about falling away. It's happening. It's happening right now in the United States of America. But we need to be aware, keenly aware, of our walk with Jesus and stay focused and keep walking with Jesus in spite of the circumstances that are tearing us apart, our nation apart, your home apart, whatever else. We must stay focused on Jesus. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father, thank you that you are unchanging. Everything around us changes, but you. You, Lord Jesus, are our rock. You are our salvation. You are our deliverer, our hope. And Father, I pray for our nation. Oh, our nation looks like a mess right now, Lord. But you've seen this mess coming for a long time. And I pray that people of God, believers, men and women, would not falter in our faith. We would not let circumstances drive a wedge between us and you. And even as Paul describes in two places here in the New Testament, even to that point of falling away, apostate. Father, I pray for our nation. We need you. We need you, Lord. Like never before in my life, we need you. And so I pray for our leaders, outgoing, incoming, because your word instructs us to pray for our leaders. Honor the king, Peter said. And so we pray for our leaders and pray that your will is done, O God. We know there are hidden agendas all over. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that your will would be done in this nation, in the church, in the factory, in the home. We pray that your will would be done, O God. In spite of what it looks like, we pray, O God, that your will would be done and that you would revive the church, breathe Holy Spirit life into your people, save the lost, transform the hurting and the addicted, mend up the broken hearts and the broken marriages and the broken bodies, Father. Only you can do all of that. And so we look to you this morning, O God, with hope. A hope that is not wavering because you are God and you have a plan. And so we look to you this morning, Father, and ask, guide and direct all of us to a closeness to you that is more real than it's ever been before. And people that are affected by pandemics and cancers and riots, Father, I pray, save souls. Save the lost. Revive the church. Do what you can only do, Father, in this nation and beyond. We look at our prayer list, Lord, and it's full of people hurting. And we know our communities are full of lonely people. You're the hope for all of us. And I pray, oh God, that you would minister to people. Minister to people like only you can. And I pray, Father, that there's people today that are listening Facebook Live in the parking lot or sitting here that haven't experienced the hope, are not even sure where they're at with you. I pray that your Spirit would speak to them in such a powerful way that they know that they know, I'm going to be with Jesus someday because of the accomplished work on the cross. And I have repented of my sin, and I have claimed him as Lord, and I have denied myself, and I'm willing to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I pray, oh God, for people that aren't sure, that they would be sure today. For today is a day of salvation for people. And so I pray that you would guide us in this service and guide other churches all over our region, all over this nation, all over the world. And may we together lift up the name of Jesus, and may we together, O God, bring glory to you, our Heavenly Father, as we have come to worship you and to praise you. Guide us by your Spirit, O God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mentioned last week when we were talking about from Matthew, I mentioned that that message was kind of a bridge to this week, and here's what I meant by that. We know we were talking about Herod, how he was just giving lip service, and we were talking about the scribes and Pharisees, how they were pretenders, and we were talking about the wise men who passionately were seeking Jesus. I ask us to ponder that for this week because we too must examine where we are at and who we are at in Jesus. We must be aware of who we are in Christ. Lip service isn't going to get it done when the rapture happens. And neither is pretending and going through the religious motions like the Pharisees did. And so as I press on today to this topic of falling away, if all I have offered is lip service, or all I am is a pretender in my faith, or to use another phrase from the book, unsaved Christian, if I am only a cultural Christian, I will miss the flight. And if I am in any of those categories, and these kind of things, tragedy, difficulties, uprisings, rioting happens, it's easy for me to fall away because my faith wasn't where it should have been in the first place. So this week we're going to look at that phenomenon the Bible calls, and the Bible said would happen before the rapture, before the second coming of the Lord. We're going to look at that phenomenon called the falling away. If you got your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 4, two verses there, then another one in 2 Thessalonians in a minute. I'm going to show us what's happening, what the Bible said would happen, and show us what's happening in America and other parts of the world today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It'll be on the big screen if you don't have your Bibles, but that's where I'm at. Follow along if you've got them. Now the Spirit, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Paul said that towards the end, in the latter times, there will be a departure of people from the faith. They will leave it, if you will. He said that would happen. I want to say this, I just want to say this about that departure. It's evident today. And I'll give you some examples of what I mean. It's evident of people departing from the faith. I've told you this statistic. I like statistics because I think it paints a picture, and I've told you this over the last year on several occasions. But do you remember that terminology called the nones? N-O-N-E-S. Who remembers that? Some of you do. That category is the fastest growing category of people in America right now. Nones, N-O-N-E-S, means I have no religious affiliation, no connection to a Lord or the church. Nones. That is the fastest growing group of people in America today. It is up to 23%. A quick calculation of 330 million with 23% is almost 70 million Americans. No religious connection, no affiliation, and that number is growing. That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. I looked up that Greek word for departure, and although I can't really pronounce it, it's aphistemi. It means to remove, to withdraw. This falling away means to withdraw. That's what's happening with multitudes of people in America and beyond. Falling away, withdrawing from any connection with God or religion or the church. Sometimes I suppose withdrawing from some religion is a good thing if we're getting connected to Jesus. To me, this is when I think of that, to remove, to fall away, to withdraw, it's a fairly clear picture that Paul is painting here. There will be those, he said, who in fact will be part of the faithful at some point because of deceiving spirits. You see what he said here? Doctrines of demons and lies spoken in hypocrisy will depart, will fall away. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Thessalonica, and they got this little argument going on amongst them, and he addresses this in verse 1. I'm going to pick it up at verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2. They got this little argument going along. Well, the Lord has already come back. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. He's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That word falling away, we all have heard that before, means apostate. The Greek word is apostasia, which simply means falling away, defection from the truth. Pop up that slide there, and I want to throw this in because we've been talking about the second coming of the Lord. And I don't want to not mention the rapture and some of these things that I'm talking about today. This is just, I created this little thing. It's not out of a book. So if it's right, it's of the Lord. If it's wrong, it's of mine. But this is a little bit, I wanted us to see this because there's going to be signs. We've talked about that for a long time. There's going to be signs, okay? You're still with me with that part, right? And then he talks about the restrainer being removed. Amir Sarfati would say in his latest book that's simply the restrainer is God within the church, the Holy Spirit within the church, right, wrong, or indifferent. I think it's very close. And the church will be raptured out, and when that happens, the Holy Spirit of God, the restrainer will be pulled out too. The man of lawlessness will be introduced. The 7 years of tribulation will happen. The second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom, and multitudes of scripture can go with all of these. But I say this to remind us simply of these are signs. The falling away is one of those signs before the rapture will happen. And if we don't recognize these signs that Jesus talked about, we've looked at them for weeks, and Paul talks about, and we're not ready, we will miss the flight. We will miss the rapture. You still with me, brothers and sisters? If we miss the rapture, it's 7 years then of unprecedented horrors that humanity has never seen before. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Is there opportunity for people to come to Christ at that point? According to the Word of God, there will be some. But I wouldn't recommend taking your chance to come to Christ during the seven-year tribulation. That's not a good time to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. We need to do it now. We need to be ready. I've been saying that through this whole series. These are signs that are pointing to the imminent return, the rapture and the return of Jesus. Now, back to the falling away. Why do I bring that up today? Two reasons. It's a sign of the last hour. Paul said in the latter times, in the latter days. So I bring it up today because it's a sign of the last hour, of the last days, and secondly, because it's happening all around us, and it's been happening in America, and not just America, but it's been happening for quite a while. So if this is a sign, if this is one more sign, if this is one more evidence of the rapture, could be today. It could be. If this is one more sign, then would we not do well to take notice and make sure we are ready for the rapture and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we not do well to make sure we are ready in case it were today? I'm going to give you a couple of signs that I've gleaned, and you've all heard of them too. Well, I think you have, some of them anyway, to show you the evidences of what I'm talking about, the dangers of falling away, and why we need to be ready. 1 week ago today, and I know that you've all heard this before, but it's fresh in our minds, so I'm going to bring it up. I'm talking about signs of falling away. 1 week ago today, some of you have posted this online. I drew this from Chuck Colson's Breakpoint. 1 week ago today, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver closed his prayer, opening the 117th Congress of the United States by saying, and I quote, "We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma and God, small g, known by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman." You all heard that, though. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, right? You've heard that. So you say, well, Jim, what's that got to do with anything? What do you expect from the world? Here's my point. This man, who is a congressman, is also a 20-year ordained minister with a Master's of Divinity in a mainline denomination. He should know better. This is what I'm talking about, the falling away. We can allow this kind of prayer at the beginning of the 117th Congress of the United States of America by an ordained minister in a mainline denomination who happens to be a congressman today. We can allow that kind of prayer that says we ask it in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma and God known by many other names, by many other different faiths, a man and a woman. And yet we are told we cannot pray in the football field in Jesus' name after a football game. We cannot, we have been told locally, we cannot use the name Jesus at a graduation party, or a graduation ceremony, I mean. This is what I'm talking about. This is not just some commoner they pulled in off the streets. This is a man that was ordained in a major, major church, has a Master of Divinity, has been trained up in what amen means and what it doesn't mean. Falling away. Apostate. Paul said it would happen. Falling away from the centrality of Jesus, the spiritual matters of life, falling away from being completely surrendered to Christ, born again. He said it would happen, and it's happening. I know that some of you have heard of the documentary called Agenda. Have you heard of that? I know some of you have. Some of you have heard the documentary called Agenda. It's put out a few years ago by Idaho State Representative Curtis Bowers. I'm just going to say this. We've got a few copies around. You would do well to listen to it. you would do very well, and you would be surprised, like the rest of us that have seen it, of that underlying agenda in America to take the church down. From that documentary, I learned a great deal. Those of you that have watched it also have learned a great deal, I am sure. But that undermining, this will make you think I've lost my last marble. And maybe I have, I'm not sure. But that undermining is by the communist. That undermining to tear down the Christian faith in America. All I would suggest to you is listen to the documentary called Agenda. Then there's an Agenda 2. And see what you think. And then you can tell me if I've lost my last marble. Here's a quote from the documentary. And I quote, "The communists discovered that the destruction of religion could proceed much faster through infiltration of the church. It was determined that with only small forces available, it would be necessary to concentrate communist agents in seminaries and divinity schools. If these institutions would make it for a small communist minority to influence the ideology of the future clergymen, the plan was simple: to divert the emphasis from the spiritual to the material," end quote. Manning Johnson, 1953, former leader, Communist Party. Infiltrate the seminaries. Infiltrate the divinity schools. Get them off Christ just a little bit. Maybe push on to the environmental gospel or the social gospel or the social justice gospel, and forget about, just a little bit to begin with, forget about the gospel of sin and salvation through Jesus and put it on something else. And you get this division. And you get these false teachers then coming out of seminaries. I know I'll get a few negativities about that, but it's happening. And when you get false teachers coming out of seminaries, you get false students that are getting a false message, and pretty quick you've got falling away because we don't even know what the truth is anymore. That's what's happening. I can hear it now. Come on, preacher, you've got to be kidding me. There's a lot of evidence out there, friends. I encourage you last week to read this book this year, if you never have. Read it every day. Know what it says. Because if you don't know what it says, how are you going to know what somebody, even me, is telling you, whether it's truth or not? If it doesn't line up with this, we shouldn't be subscribing to it and following it. We've got to know what this says, or we will not be able to identify false teaching. Paul said to Timothy, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." Why? Because they will give heed and attention and their listening ear to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. That's how we get led away. And if we're not studying this, how are we going to know what's a lie? What's a deceiving spirit? What's a doctrine of demon? If we don't know what's in this, we need to know what's in the book. Today in America, according to researchers, and I quote, "A majority of Americans do not believe that the Bible is God's word anymore." I hope you do. But according to researchers, a majority of Americans do not even believe this is God's word anymore. That's a problem. either this is real or it's not. We either take all of this or we throw it out. We can't take what I like and leave out what I don't like. According to researchers, a majority of Americans do not believe the Bible is God's word anymore. And tragically, in the same article, many in teaching seminaries don't either. Don't believe this is God's word anymore. Some in teaching seminaries do not believe in the virgin birth. Some in teaching seminaries subscribe to a social justice, a social gospel, and an environmental gospel more than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you've got a false message coming from false teachers with a false gospel, pretty quick you're going to have falling away because we don't even know what the truth is. You still with me, brothers and sisters? I've told you this 100 times, not 100, but 12. I'm not here to badmouth seminaries because God is at work. But we need to know what's in the Word of God. We do as individuals. You need to know what's in the Word of God so you don't come here and I'm pulling the wool over your eyes and just leading the blind into the ditch. The blind leads the blind, Jesus said, and they both fall in the ditch. But when these false messages, these subtle changes begin to happen, we spoke last spring at length about the prosperity gospel and those subtle messages. When those start to lead away from the centrality of Christ and Christ crucified, and we are sinners who need to repent and claim Christ as Lord, when we start to move away from that, we're starting to fall away from the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more quote from the documentary Agenda, and I quote, "The Methodist Federation for Social Action was organized by Harry F. Ward." Now, if you've got a curious mind like I do, you're going to Google that, and you're going to find out who's Harry F. Ward. That's exactly what I did after I learned about this statement. I shall start over. "The Methodist Federation for Social Action was organized by Harry F. Ward, who is an ordained Methodist minister and a member of the Communist Party, all at the same time. And when you look on the Wikipedia or Google or wherever you want to look up Harry F. Ward, you will see those that influenced him were Vladimir Lenin and Karl Marx. Not Jesus the Christ, but Karl Marx. This is an ordained minister. This is just one. There's dozens and dozens and dozens. But here's the point. The objective of the Methodist Federation for Social Action was to transform the Methodist Church and Christianity into an instrument for the achievement of socialism." End quote. From Benjamin Gitlow, co-founder, Communist Party, United States of America. You say, "Jim, so what?" Because I know there's a whole lot of promoting of socialism today. I get that. But the "so what" is socialism, communism, Marxism are anti-God. Look a little bit about Vladimir Lenin and Karl Marx. It is very, very anti-God. And when you start to put this kind of teaching and this kind of thinking within the church and the church leaders, pretty quick you've got drifting, and pretty quick you've got exactly what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica and to Timothy: there will come a time when they're falling away. Apostate. The entire movements are moving away from the centrality of Jesus the Christ. Today, friends, in America, I don't have to tell you this, you know this, there is a massive falling away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It is a massive falling away. I give you one little example about the nuns. That movement is growing in leaps and bounds. Paul said, "Unless the falling away comes first. We know it's going to happen. The falling away is going to happen. Please hear me now as I get ready to wrap up. The erosion of Judeo-Christian values are happening in America like never before. People are leaving the church, leaving Christianity. Maybe they get mad at God because they didn't get something didn't go well, said, I'm done with you, whatever the case may be. The erosion of Judeo-Christian values are happening in America like it has never happened before. There are statistics out there en masse, volumes of them. When Charles and Jennifer were on vacation, he was apparently doing like I do and studying scriptures and looking at articles and everything else, because he sent me one, and in that article from CarrieNewwolf.com, which I've never heard of, but here's what it said. When churches, this is talking about pandemic related. When churches reopen in June, you know we're all shut down for a good long time. You still with me? You falling asleep on me, brothers and sisters. We were shut down for 3 months, remember? When they reopened, according to this statistic, 36% of people went back to church. Now you say, well, Jim, I can't afford to go back to church and get COVID-19. I understand that. But there's more at work here than that. 36% went back to church of the people that were in church. And also from that statistic, 6 and 9, Generation Z, will not be back. You know what Generation Z is, anybody? Wow, I'm the only one that Generation Z is the one right behind the millennials. So they're born in the late 1990s up into 2010, so they're people, what would that be, from 10 to 22 years old. And according to that statistic that Charles was researching and sent me, 6 in 10 of that group said, I'm never going back. Falling away. I'm never going back. And the last statistic out of that particular article was, and I quote, while we do not know the full impact of the disruption for a few more years, the steady decline of the church attendance over the decades may be on the verge of becoming a new exodus out of the church. Paul said it would happen, by the way. I mentioned that, though, didn't I? So what does that mean? It goes back to what I said to begin with. Do not let trouble, difficulties, unrest, uncertainties drive a wedge between you and Jesus and allow you to begin drifting away and even becoming apostate. Do not let that happen. That's what the devil wants. He wants turmoil in Washington, D.C., on the streets of Minneapolis, in the church houses of America. So people will doubt God and say, if that's how you are, I don't need you. Do not let times of difficulty and hardship and division all around us drive that wedge between you and God. Because if we become like a Herod and it's just lip service, or we're just a cultural Christian, or we're like the Pharisees of that day and we're just pretending, it will be easy to fall away from God. I believe, brothers and sisters, there's an urgency today like never before, at least in my lifetime. An urgency to repent and call upon Christ and deny our own agendas, our own selves, and follow Jesus. I believe there's an urgency like never in my lifetime before. When that rapture happens, we're seeing the signs. And I know some people are this, I've said this over this series, some people know a lot more about this than I do. They study it a lot more than I have, and they're saying It could be any moment. And I agree, it could be in a moment. The rapture could be at any moment. And if my readiness for the rapture is, will I believe in God, Jim? I've never been born again. I've never surrendered my life to Christ. Then we're not ready. If my readiness is like the cultural Christian talked about in the book, Unsaved Christian, or the Jewish religious leader of that time, if my readiness is like that, I'm just pretending, I'm just going through some religious motions, I'm going to miss the flight. I'm not ready. That's the urgency. And I'm not sure that we Americans and perhaps around the world are paying attention to the urgency of now. The rapture could happen. The Lord's going to return. We've seen it over and over and over. We need to be ready. Jesus called it being born again. We need to be ready. Surrendered to Christ, repented of sin, sold out, if you will, for Jesus. And so let me close with this before we get ready to sing our last song. Times in America, this land that we love, may get difficult. You hearing me this morning, brothers and sisters? Times in America, in the future, may get difficult for Christians. If you're going to take a stand for Jesus, it may get difficult in this great nation. And I'm asking you again this morning, is Jesus Lord? If he's just come some afterthought or some conversation or I believe in God, Jim, is Jesus Lord? You've got to ask yourselves that. And if you're not sure, we'd love to pray with you about that, talk more about that. Send us a text, an email, a messenger, or come up while we're singing this song. Jesus needs to be Lord. When he comes back, when that rapture happens, if he is not Lord of your life, you will miss the flight.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your warning love to guide us and to show us the urgency of becoming cold and apostate. Help us to understand, Father, that this doesn't happen overnight. We wake up one day and say, I'm done with you and your son, but that it is a bleeding process, missing church, skipping a few days of prayer, not picking up the Bible to read, not serving, not obeying. It's just small, willful choices over a period of time, and the heart grows cold. So as your Old Testament word tells us, we ask, Father, more than anything, that you would take hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh that come alive and heed these warnings and to understand that the hour is at hand. That we would be like the wise virgins who came prepared and ready for the coming of the bride and the bridegroom and could come inside and celebrate the great wedding feast. Father, we thank you for the warnings today to awaken ourselves to the truth that is at any minute, as we've learned before, that the second coming of Christ is already underway and the signs are happening. Help us to live vigilant. Help us to live alive and sober and to draw near, as the song we just sung. Draw us nearer and nearer and closer, that we are comfortable with using the word intimate with our relationship with you. It is so deep and it is so loving and it is so clean. Help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.